reminder that this month we are wanting to focus a little bit extra on our small groups. And so if you're not in a small group, or maybe you have been but haven't been for a while, we're wanting to encourage more and more to participate in our Sunday evening groups. There's a 5 o'clock service. We know that during those times we grow closer together in a unique way. And so remember that during the month of February. Last week we talked about true love. And we covered some myths regarding romantic love, some myths about romantic love. And so I want to go further this week. But we also talked last week about truths about love, and that is that the love that God talks about in Scripture when God says love one another, the love that God's talking about is unconditional. It's a love your enemies kind of a love. It's not so much the love where you hold the door open for an old lady going into Quick Trip. It's more the love where someone bumps into you coming into Quick Trip and they say, "Excuse you." You know what I mean? And you say, "God bless you," or something. That's the kind of love that God's talking about, where someone is wrong to you, but you're right to them. You ever had someone tell you they love you, but they did not act like they loved you? 1 John 3:18. God says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You know, some of the things that we want from others, we expect from others even. If someone says they love us, we'd like them to act like they do. Well, we have a God that says that. And He says, "I want you to not just say you love, but I want you to really love." And so, let's take a glance. Let's start out Galatians 5:13. Look at Galatians 5:13. And let's take a glance and see, what does this mean? What does it look like when we are loving the way God wants us to love? And in the book of Galatians, Paul's writing to Christians who... So you have churches where you have Christians who were Jews, and then you have Christians who have been... They're Gentiles. They don't come from a Jewish background. And so the Jews are trying to get the Gentile Christians to be Jews first, including circumcision. So you have this kind of battle about, do we still have to follow the old law? And verse 13, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." And he's talking about freedom from the old law. He says, "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." But, and so he's saying there's a shift from following God's old law, the law of Moses, all the regulations, all the rules, all the details. There's in the new covenant, in the church, there's a shift from that. We don't offer sacrifices anymore, do we? We don't keep the Sabbath holy anymore, do we? There are a lot of things we don't do that the Israelites did. And so Paul's saying there's been a shift, and he says, don't do that, but do this. Love, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the love. God's talking about true love here. Love, unconditional love. Love toward those that aren't being loving to you. And he says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Think about this. True love means my rights come second to the benefit of others. True love means my rights come second to the benefit of others. I think that's one of those things that sounds real good in this room and not so good out there, right? I think that's one of those things that, amen, that's Scripture. That's what Scripture's teaching us, that I'm to love others first, put them before me. We learn that from a young age. But when you're out in the world and someone's doing you wrong, or someone in your family or someone at your workplace is treating you badly and acting like a jerk, for me to swallow my pride and treat them lovingly is not so easy. Well, Paul, what does he mean by bite? So he's talking to Christians and he's saying, watch out that you don't bite and devour one another. What's that about? You ever seen Christians fuss at each other? You ever seen Christians talk about each other? You ever been in a church that had conflict? Satan is always trying to get God's people to fight with each other, right? He's always trying to do that. And as God blesses us more as a church, don't you know Satan is working harder and harder to try to get us to get crossways with each other, bite, devour each other? I'll give you just a few examples. And these are kind of minor, but I think it'll help kind of whet our appetite a little bit. Have you ever come in this auditorium in the past few weeks and you can't sit in your pew? I'm not saying where you normally sit. I'm saying your pew, possessive, right? You can't sit in your pew. I've seen people sitting where they don't, and they're always here. But I see, because they're sitting in a different place, and it stands out to me. I'm thinking, you're not where you're supposed to be. But I know why they're not where they're supposed to be. Because somebody's sitting where they're supposed to be. When God, we prayed for growth. Well, do we really want? We pray, God, help us reach the lost. Bring them in. Do we really want it? You ever pulled in and you can't find a place to park? I could say, has it been cold and windy and rainy, but we haven't even had a winter. But there's going to be times when, you know, I'm walking in the rain across the street because I can't park out here. There may be times when something happens at church and you find out someone's in charge of something and you think, well, I would have liked to have done that. I wish they would have asked me. Or, you know, I wouldn't have done that quite like someone else is doing it. As a church grows, as God blesses us, there's more that has to be done, right? There's more that has to do it. And things are going to be done in a way that Satan's going to get right in our head, and he's going to try to get us to bite and devour each other. And God says, you love your neighbor. You love them first. God says he'll take care of us. All right, I want to answer one great question today. And it may seem like a dumb question. But the question is, how important is love? Now, I don't mean loving people that we like. So we're talking about true love, God's love, unconditional love. How important is it? It may seem like a dumb question. But let's look at a few things that maybe you've never noticed before. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. Passage we're familiar with. This is what the world should see when they look at us. That's what it is. When the world sees a Christian, this is what they should see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the first one right out of the gate is love. I don't think that's an accident. Maybe it is. I don't think Paul just rattled some off as he's writing to the Galatians. I think there may be some intent there that love comes out first. But if not, look at this. 1 Corinthians 13. The great passage on love. It helps us understand what love is. But we're going to read down through 3 and then go to 13. Paul says, And please notice as we go through this, I know you've seen this before. Notice the impressive things Paul's saying. He's saying, if I was able to do this or that, okay? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Do you imagine if you had the ability God given to speak in the language of angels? That impresses me. If I knew you had that, you know, if I knew John Tedford had that, I'd go take John to lunch. Tell me about this. How do the angels talk? Man, that's pretty neat. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that's pretty impressive. And I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Jesus said, if you have enough faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. A lot of people think Jesus was exaggerating to make his point. Maybe he was. I think Jesus could have been very literal and literally saying, if you had enough faith, God would grant it. Now you might ask, well, wouldn't the world notice? You know, Mount McKinley is not where it normally is. I don't know. I don't know how. Yes, no, I don't know. God can do whatever he wants to do. But if you have faith to move a mountain, I'm impressed. And God's not if we don't have love. Verse 3, if I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned. Anybody signing up for that? But have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 13, so faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I don't know that Paul could have made his point any stronger. I mean, what could you do? What could you do to say that love is more important than what he's trying to say, how important it is? Unconditional love. If we know the Bible, I mean know it, right? Which is important that we study it. If we know this, but we do not excel in showing love to people that are hard to love, if we don't excel at loving people who are hard to love, we will be puffed up, arrogant, condescending, criticizing, and condemning. Won't we? And Christians have been that way. And they've been that way in our brotherhood in the past. And we have to remember, as important it is to love God and love His Word, if we don't have love with it and showing it to other people, we gain nothing. What if I'm a good-hearted person? I mean, I have a good heart. I love my family. I love my friends. I mean, you've heard people say something like this. You know, I mean, I'm not perfect. I have my times. I'm a good-hearted person. But what if I don't show love to my enemies? Do you realize to the world that is a really good person? A really good person to the world loves their family, friends, neighbors, even strangers, not so much their enemies. Right? I mean, if somebody crosses them, look out. That's how the world lives. And God says we have to be different than that. What if I'm a giving person? I give to my church. I give to the person on the side of the street who says they're hungry. Maybe they are. Maybe they're a fraud. I still give to them. Look at how generous I am. But we're not talking about loving people that love us. All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. So we're trying to figure, we're honing in on just how important is unconditional love. Well, Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. So here we have a list, kind of like in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the world should see when they see us. Patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. There are places where Jesus said if someone comes and basically apologizes, you forgive them. There are other places like this where you just forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Verse 14, above all these, put on love. And I want to read on past this. Which binds everything together in perfect harmony, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And now listen to verse 16. You ever heard this before? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. We have a passage. The reason I want to include so much of that is there's some of that that we've heard a lot. It talks about singing. It talks about worship. It just says sing, we sing. It says, whatever you do, do it in God's name. We try to do that. We try to follow the book. But before that, it says, above all, love. Unconditional love. The kind where you forgive the jerks and the criminals and the wrongdoers and the backbiters and the gossips and the ones who are talking about you. Above all. And then 1 Peter 4:8, if you want the condensed version, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. It could not be more clear. This love is where people are doing wrong and they're not apologizing. It's not the people who come back and say, I blew it. I really did you wrong. And out of the goodness of your heart, you say, well, you know, we all do wrong. I forgive you. This is loving people who are hard to love. Abby is now, we're now doing softball. We're out of soccer. We're into softball. Okay, we've never done softball before. But we're working on some things, working on some hitting. Get her in a batting cage, taking pitches off a machine. Never done that before. Barely swing a bat. We don't know what we're doing. We're learning. You know, so you get in there. Here's how you stand. Watch the ball. Try to hit it. We're getting a lot of swings and misses. You know, that's what happens when you're new to something that you're trying to do. Get in there. Watch the ball. Try to hit it. We hit. Now we're hitting some. When Scripture tells us to love our enemies, God is not saying, try that. Give that a shot. Make sense? You know, take a swing at that. Maybe you can do it. It's not one of those things in the book that, yeah, I know I should be doing that, and I'm not very good at that, and I probably need to work on that. That's all way understated. Because what's really true is, if you don't get anything done, do this. Now, I'm not saying above loving God. I'm not saying above believing in Jesus, following God's word. I'm not saying, but listen, Scripture says, love, love, love. And if I'm not doing this, the rest doesn't matter. What is going to help us? I want to kind of wrap us up in this thought. 2 Corinthians, I want to skip a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Great passage about that helps us about loving others. And it says, for the love of Christ controls us. It's an interesting word. Control comes from the Greek word suneko. And it's a word that usually is translated, and usually has this meaning of to keep in, to hold, to press. It's been translated hard pressed. It can be in a negative context of suffering. We are hard pressed. So it's kind of a tightening, a controlling. In this respect, it's not in a negative sense, it's in a positive sense. The love that Christ has for me, it compels me. It focuses me. It narrows what I need to do. The way God loves me, the way Christ loves me, helps me to be able to love others like I should. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And if you got lost in that, you probably would, 99% of us. That's wordy, and it's confusing. But the message is that God loved us first. When Christ loved you, were you walking with him? When Christ died for you, were you living right? When Christ and God forgave you, did you deserve that? And we struggle sometimes when someone acts in a way that we feel like is wrong. It was uncalled for. It was inconsiderate. It's inexcusable. It's unacceptable. And yet we didn't have any problem with God loving us when we were inexcusable, unacceptable, wrong, inconsiderate, right? This is how Christ's love compels us. When I think about how God loved me, can I not love someone else? If I can accept God's grace, can I not grant someone else? Someone says, excuse you. Can I not think, act, and maybe even say, God bless you? Verse 16. So we think about how Christ loved us, and so Paul says, from now on, because of that, from now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. If we regard people according to the flesh, when someone's a jerk to you, maybe they need someone to straighten them out. You ever thought of that? You ever thought of that? When people are acting up, they probably need somebody to just straighten them out. Anyone ever thought that? Anyone ever wished they were as big as, I won't say a name, but some people who are really big and strong and powerful, and then when people do you wrong and they just need to be taught a lesson, you could teach them? I have. But God tells us to do the opposite of that. I want to just back up and end right here. Above all, keep loving. If we love like this, the world will see us and they will say, these people are different. These people are different. But when I look at Scripture, I have to remind myself, Elliot, loving is not doing to those that you like. It's not loving your family and your friends and your neighbors. The heathens do that. It's loving the jerks and the arrogant and the wrongdoers and those that don't act right. And it's doing that in here too. So I just wanted to remind us how important true love is. We're going to have a song of encouragement this morning and an opportunity, if there's something heavy on your heart that you want us to lift up to God on your behalf this morning, or if there's someone who is not, you're not walking with God or haven't been, maybe you've never given your life to Christ, never put on Christ in baptism. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.